Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Read verse 14 with me. We'll make some comments about other verses in the chapter, but let's look at this for just a second. Notice that it's written in the first person, I. First person singular. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy that my soul knoweth quite well. In one of the commentaries that Tim James wrote, he said this. He said, when I was a young preacher, I was instructed by some more experienced men, more experienced pastors, preachers, to be careful not to overtype. The Old Testament. I suppose they felt that I might be seeing Christ where they thought that he wasn't. And a little later he went on to say, but I kept seeing stuff that to me spoke of Christ. He just couldn't help it. I had a similar experience to that one time. After seeing Christ and trying to speak of him and the things about him from a passage of scripture, a person whom I highly respected walked up to me and said, young man, you can take some things too far. Because of the respect that I had, it devastated me. I mean, it really got to me. I took it seriously. And although it shook me up at the time, I was much like Tim. A whole lot like Tim. I kept seeing Christ everywhere. Kept seeing him everywhere. I kept seeing stuff that to me spoke of Christ like Tim. And all in all of those occasions, all I could think was that our Lord himself declared himself to be the subject of all the scripture when he said to the Pharisees, you think you have eternal life, but they're they that speak of me.
Yes, sir.
All of them. And I want to start by reminding both you and myself that this psalm is from the pen of King David as he was inspired by the author, the Holy Spirit of God. That's who's speaking here, not David. David wrote it, but these are not David's words. It's written in the first person singular. I want you to see that. If you look in this verse, it's written from the point of view, I, me, and my. I am fearfully made. Those are the words that show that the person speaking is the character in this story. It's speaking of him. And this psalm, though written by David, it's evident that he was directed by God's Spirit to say a world of things about Christ, concerning Christ, in this chapter. I want to give you a couple of examples of that, what I'm trying to say. In Acts, after Christ ascended into heaven, back into heaven, Peter stood in front of about 120 disciples. And he said this concerning the betrayal of Christ by Judas. Okay? Peter was talking about the betrayal of Christ by Judas, and he said, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David," the Holy Ghost spoke through David. David wasn't speaking his own words. He was speaking of those that he had been inspired and given by the Spirit of God concerning Judas, which was the guide to them that took Jesus. When they came to take, Judas was guiding them. And the scripture that Peter was referring to was Psalm 41 and verse 9. Now, very quickly, I want you to look at it with me. Psalm 49, or 41 and verse 9. Look at what it says. It says, "Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread and lifted up his heel against me." We would have never known that that verse was talking about a man who would betray Jesus, and it's written in the first person singular, and those are the words of Christ. David wrote that verse, but it becomes clear from the Apostle Peter's words that there was one greater than David speaking there.
Yes, sir.
Through his pen, through his pencil, if you will. These are the words of Christ. They're a prophecy of Judas betraying him. And while it may be true that what David said could be true of David himself to some extent, it was dictated, if you will, by God's Spirit through the mouth of David. In the first person singular, my friend who ate my bread. Another example, well, let me say this. And if that be true, the verse we just read, and if you want to turn back there, in verse 14, 139:14, what is said there, "All those things that I've said being so are the words of Christ." Now, how many times have we read that before and looked at ourselves? Only creature on earth that's got thumbs, wonderfully made inside. Everything's coordinated, and that's what we think about. But this is talking about Christ. He's fearfully and wonderfully made. There's another example in the book of Acts. Peter was speaking on this occasion concerning the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. And he quoted David from Psalm chapter 16 by saying that David spoke there concerning, and listen and notice that it's also written in the first person, through David, "Our Lord said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice." This got to be the words of Christ. "And my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Not another man on the face of the earth can say those words. "Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." We're all going to see it, but he didn't. He's the only man that never did. "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy in thy countenance." And here's still another example. Psalm 22 and verse 18, listen. "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. David couldn't say that, but it reads my garments. He wrote it, but he was speaking the words of Christ there as he was inspired by God's Spirit. Now, if you're back to 139 and verse 14, I want you to see these words as those from the very mouth of Christ. It says, I will praise thee. That's Christ speaking. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. He's speaking to the Father. And that my soul knoweth quite well. There is no doubt that it can be said that David and every other believer that the Lord made us. He made us. He knows what we're made of. And in verse 2, look at that. He knows our downsetting and our uprising. He knows our thoughts. The believer knows and can say, verse 7, look at that. Where can I go where you're not? Verse 8, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. Depths of hell, you're there. If I dwell in the other parts of the sea, he's there. Verse 11, not even darkness can hide me. He's everywhere. And in all places, he's present at all times. And he sees and he knows all things. We as believers, are aware of and can say those things of ourselves, but only to some degree. For lack of a better term, just as David may have seen those things as he penned them, as he wrote them. But when we say those things, we can't say them with any purity of thought. And these thoughts, the recording of Christ's thoughts, are pure thoughts. He has an appreciation for them as a matter of experience. All those things should be kept in memory to inspire us. But there's a far greater subject to be considered here. If we can see that one greater than David is the one speaking. As I've given examples, there is such a delight and comfort to be found in just the slightest glimpse of these expressions being his words. The one speaking says that the Lord has covered me in my mother's womb. Look at verse 13. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. This can be generally true of every one of us, if considered only as referring to the formation of this human frame. But the terms fearfully and wonderfully made implies a lot more than just an ordinary act of creation. If we consider this to be the person of Christ and see the other passages in this chapter in confirmation, all of these expressions in this chapter correspond in their context and make perfect sense. Christ, from verse 14 up, if you go back and read the first 13 verses, he's extolling the virtues of the Father. Perfectly. He knows them because he is God. He is God. In Hebrews chapter 10, Paul wrote this. He said, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. He was quoting Psalm chapter 40 and attributing those words to Christ in speaking of himself. How was that body prepared? Is there any answer to that? The angel explained it when he announced it to Mary. He said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, Mary, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." Luke chapter 1. And it was a miraculous conception. And unexplainable. There is no explanation. Here was a body prepared. And that truly can be said to be fearfully and wonderfully made. It was contrary to procreation, being totally without the intervention of a human father and without any act of the mother whatsoever. She was totally passive in it. Totally passive. Nowhere in Scripture is it ever said that Christ was begotten of a woman. It does say that he was made of a woman. Made of a woman. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Christ is called the man. The man from heaven. And he was fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at verse 15. He was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. What's that talking about? He was curiously made. That's what I just said. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, God the Father's Spirit. Where's that dark place? It's in a mother's womb. It's in his mother's womb. That's what that's talking about. I'm just cocksure. In verse 16, he says to his father, "But your eyes did see my substance." You may have a marginal note in your Bible for substance. That means body. Body. He was made in secret, curiously wrought. He said to his father, "Your eyes did see my substance, my body." What is his substance spoken of? It's his members. Look at verse 16. "My substance was not hid when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." What's that talking about? What's that talking about? What is his substance? It's his members. It's his elect. That's his body. We are the body of Christ. We've been given to him in eternity. And we're given to him in eternity. Get this now. We were given to him in eternity when yet we were imperfect. Look at it. When we're imperfect. And before ever having done good or evil, every single one of them, look at it, were written in a book. Written. That means what it says. Written. That can't be said of any other man. If this verse applied only to our members, our fingers, our toes, our heart, our organs, and the miraculous function of all of them, then the members written down for us would all be the same. Five fingers to a hand, a liver, a heart, an ear, an eye. But the members written for Christ were his people. That constituted his body. And that is fearfully and wonderfully made. Written, his members were, written in the Lamb's Book of Life before one of them ever existed. That's what that verse says right there. David wasn't fearfully and wonderfully made in that sense. That's fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, my word, how wonderful it is. Here is God Almighty. Being the Son of God, conceived of the Spirit of God, perfectly holy and without sin, becoming a man to enter this cesspool of humanity, sinful humanity, having entered this world through the womb of a woman, being born of a virgin, he grew, listen to this, God grew and waxed strong. He grew in maturity, knowledge it even says. Being filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Scripture. You say that's impossible. It's not for him. Because this man, the man, is fearfully and wonderfully made. As an infant, this man was the God-man. Brother Don, he used to say that. And he says, you can't say it slow. You got to say it fast. The God-man. He's neither God nor man, but he's God-man. God and man. Some folks try to describe that union by using fancy terms like, well, it's just a hypostatic union between God and man. No, sir. You can't explain it that way. He's fearfully and wonderfully made. He was one with the Father. He was with the Father from the beginning. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Picture that man walking on this earth. Our Lord Jesus Christ. The Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are one. Yeah, they are. But they're one in three. And in that infant carried in the womb of Mary dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God Almighty cried for his mother's breast. That's fearfully and wonderfully made. He's eternal with the Father. John's Gospel tells us that. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. All things were made for him. And without him, not anything made that was made. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the one greater than David that verse 14 is speaking about, fearfully and wonderfully made. When he was about 30 years old, at his baptism, and while he was praying, God opened heaven And the Spirit of God came down in a bodily shape, it says in Luke. I believe it's Luke. Like a dove on him. And a voice declared from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that day began his public ministry and his sojourn on this earth. It lasted about 3 years before we killed him, before he gave himself. Both those things are true. His message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Savior, Christ anointed Messiah, the Lord Savior Messiah, came to redeem a people given to him before the world was ever created. Look at verse 16 again. I want you to see something more there. He said, "My substance, my body, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, my body, yet being unperfect." His body was unperfect. "And in thy book, all of them, all were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." I love that. Do you see your redemption in that verse? His substance was his body, the church, the elect. And there he is to redeem because he was fearfully and wonderfully made. He was without spot, without blemish. He knew no sin. And he's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. It was by one man's disobedience that we got in this mess. Many were saved. Many were made sinners in Adam. And so by the obedience of this one man, many be made righteous. Believers, by the death of Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, the man, through his death, burial, and resurrection, are made righteous. Here's the spotless one who was made fearfully and wonderfully made. He was made sin. That's fearfully and wonderfully made. Made sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God.
Yes, sir.
In him, the Lord Jesus came into this world to suffer for all the sins of all who the Father had written in that book. All the sins of all his people were reckoned to him, and all that they should have suffered on account of those sins, this man suffered eternal death in their stead. One might ask, can God die? No, he can't. But the God-man can. The God-man can. I wish we could get into that. Our sin debt, too huge for us to ever calculate, was all laid on him. And he paid it to the last penny.
Yes,
he was summoned to the court of eternal justice because the sins of his people were reckoned to him, and all that they should have suffered, he discharged. It's done. The whole of that tremendous debt that was due to God, the debt caused by the sins of all his people, was paid by him. And all of it has been done by him because he's fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm out of time, but I want to point something out very quickly. It'll float your boat. The salvation of God's elect is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And I would point out that salvation must come through a new birth. We must be born again. It's a miraculous conception. Are you hearing this? It's a miraculous being born again of the Spirit of God. Our Lord said to Nicodemus, he said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And Scripture says, you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead. Life from spiritual death must be given to a man or a woman before they can ever know the things of God. Amen. And it comes through faith. And that faith is a gift. And it comes through the preaching of the gospel. That's where it's bestowed. Now, if a believer, one of God's chosen ones, ponders the consequence of the fact that we have been born again, guess what? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. In Him. In Him. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that don't happen except in a passive sense. That is given you as a new man, Christ in you. And that's fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a stark realization that even we, in being a child of God, are fearfully and wonderfully made. Flesh and blood. The Lord told Peter, flesh and blood. He said, thou art the, who am I? Thou art the Christ. That's what I know. Peter said that to Christ. Christ told him, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Who did? My Father, which is in heaven. I'm just going to leave you here. But go home, please, and read these words as the words of our Lord God, the God-man, Christ Jesus, verses 1 through 13. When you read them, hear them as the words of Christ, where he extols all the virtues of his Father. Lord, I know that you know me. You know my down sitting and all this other stuff, all the way through verse 13. And then he makes that comment in verse 14. And at that point, in the latter part, Christ expresses his agreement with the Father in his perfect holiness and purity of the thoughts and intentions of his own heart. It'll bless your soul. Thank you.